excited to preach tonight. I'm actually really excited to preach tonight. I'm ready to go. I'm not going to preach for long, so that means I've got till 8:30. Just kidding. I'm not going to go to 8:30, I promise you. But tonight I've named my message, Stand Up. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask right now for you just to speak to us tonight. Lord, for you grow our faith tonight, Lord. Show us the areas in our lives that we know we can do more in. Show us the areas in our life that you know that you've got more for us in, Lord. I pray tonight, Lord, as I'm speaking, you speak to every one of us. And Lord, just inspire us to go further. Inspire us to stand up. Inspire us to not just let life pass us by, but keep moving forward into the ways of you, Lord, to see not just us as individuals change, Lord, but the people around us in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to start tonight off reading directly from Matthew 17, 14 to 20. So let's read it on the screen. And it says, at the foot of the mountain, a larger crowd was waiting for them, them being the disciples. A man came and knelt before Jesus and said, Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures and suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him. Jesus said, you faithless and corrupt people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Then Jesus rebuked the demon in the boy and it left him. From that moment, the boy was well. Afterward, the disciples asked Jesus privately, why couldn't we cast out that demon? You don't have enough faith, Jesus said. Jesus told them, I tell you the truth. If you had faith as even small as a mustard seed, you could say to the mountain, move from here to there and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. In this story, we read about the disciples not being able to heal a demon-possessed boy. And that they're trying, they couldn't do it to the point where they just had to go to Jesus, and Jesus was able to do it. And the thing is, before this, they actually had the authority to cast out demons. Jesus actually told them to go out and cast out demons, heal the sick, and do amazing things for him. Then they get challenged with this a chapter late, or in the same chapter, I'm pretty sure, and they're not able to heal a demon-possessed boy. Like, why is that? Like, if you've got the authority to do it, why couldn't they do it? Like, was it fear? Was it doubt? Was it discouragement? Whatever it was, what Jesus makes very clear is they lost faith, and they didn't have enough faith. And that caused them not to be able to heal the boy. Which leads Jesus to say this crazy statement of, all we need is faith the size of a mustard seed and we could tell a mountain to move. Which is a crazy statement. That's a crazy statement. If you didn't know, an average mustard seed is a 1 to 2 millimeters. That's very small. That's not large. I could drop it on the floor and I wouldn't be able to find it. It's that small. That's how small it was. And a mountain, I did some research, is quite large. Had to ChatGPT that one. No, but I actually found out that mountains are a minimum of 300 meters high. You're a hill before that, but you're a mountain from that. So you have to be 300 meters high. So Jesus is saying, in a measurement term, that we need to have faith the size of 1 to 2 millimeters to be able to move something that's 300 meters high. That doesn't add up. That doesn't add up. But what Jesus is saying is that if you put your faith in God, your full faith in God, nothing is impossible. You can do anything, and there's nothing that cannot be achieved. Putting faith in God is the answer to being able to do the impossible. And Luke 1:37 confirms this by saying, for nothing will be impossible with God. And in this case that I read out before, the disciples needed faith to heal a demon-possessed boy. And Jesus said, all they need is a faith the size of a mustard seed. But I know in our lives, we need to have the faith the size of a mustard seed in many different areas. It could be the area in our work. could be in the area in our finances. It could be in the area of our health. We need God to come through in our health. It could be in the area in the relationship. It could be in the area of family. I know every single one of us are going through something that we need to have faith in for God to come through, because life happens. Surprise, surprise, but life happens. And see, we may have a dream. We may have it could be anything, but everybody here, doesn't matter the age, has a dream of some sort. And what I know is dreams don't go away. They may change, but they actually don't go away. And I want to encourage you right now. You may have a dream. You may have gotten a dream. You may have given up on that dream. Whatever it may be, I want to encourage us right now. Whatever that dream is, have faith for it, church. All we need is the size of a mustard seed and faith, and God can do it. Maybe that faith is finally getting you healing. Well, I want to encourage you, church, don't give up on that dream of being healed, but actually go, no, nothing is impossible with God. And you know what makes those dreams a reality? It's faith. Faith in God that He is going to come through. Faith in ourselves that we are going to be able to do what He's promised us. And faith is the key to achieving the dreams and the plans that we have for our life. See, without faith, we'll be able to achieve nothing. But with faith, as Jesus said, only the size of a mustard seed, nothing is impossible. And what I find, though, is we sometimes let life circumstances affect our faith. We sometimes let discouragements come in. We sometimes let fear come in. We sometimes let just life happening determine our level of faith. And in the story I read at the start, the disciples must have lost a level of faith. And from that, there could have been fear, could have been discouragement. Maybe they had a 3-step process to casting out demons and they did it and it didn't work. I don't know. But what it is they lost faith. And at the start of this year, I made it sound last time I preached like it was a vibe, but I felt like it was a Holy Spirit prompting to sell my apartment and buy a house. It wasn't really a vibe. Hendrico's wife made me feel convicted about that. So I did that. I sold my house, got a great price. I was stoked. I was excited. I was happy. And I moved into my in-laws and that was a great time. And I remember like searching every day, realestate.com. It was like a hobby of mine, realestate.com. And I had faith that God was going to come through with a house. I had faith. I was excited. And I remember one day going on realestate.com as I do, and I saw a house. And once again, I was like, I think that's my house. So I remember looking at it. I was with Hendrico that day and I was like, I reckon this one's my house. I was like, I'm going to go. And I remember calling Tiana. I was like, I found our house. You got to come tonight, 4 p.m. It was a Wednesday night open home. I was like, sweet, this is sick. She's like, I'm busy. So I was like, well, change your plans. You're coming to, this is our house. So she said, okay, I can't change them, but I'll just bring the person with me. And I was like, okay, that's fine. So they got to see our open home. And I remember walking in I remember walking in and looking around. I was like, this is my house. It didn't look great. There was a few things, but I was like, nah, I feel like this is my house. So I put an offer in that night and I lowballed. I'm not going to lie, I did lowball because I was like, let's see what I can do. And so I put it in and I go to him. I go, hey, like, he's like, okay, so we got a Wednesday night open home. I'll present offers after the Saturday open homes. And I asked him, I was like, well, could you not do that? And like, could you just send mine now? Because nobody goes to Wednesday afternoon open homes. If you're looking to buy a house, look at those midweek ones. There's the trick. But he said no again. And I was like, okay, that's fine. So Saturday hit, torrential rain. I've never been so happy about torrential rain in my life. I'm not kidding. Everything was flooding and nobody went to the open home, which turned out and God came through and I got that house. And it was amazing and it was awesome. And yeah, it was awesome. But in that period, there was 2 weeks and I was like, God, you're amazing. You've come through. There's faith. And I'm so faith filled. I'm like, yes, God, you've come through. And then 2 weeks into it, I did a building and pest inspection. And I didn't know that I had to send it to the people. And I made a few mistakes. And then we got it back and my solicitor was like, okay, what do you want to do? I was like, I want this amount of money in. So I send that. And then she's like, cool. She doesn't tell me anything. She's like, I'm like, sweet, cool. And then at 5 p.m. she calls me, you might lose the house now. What? Oh, because you put that off that offer, like to reduce it, they now can take away the house because it's too late. Well, thanks for telling me. But I can tell you right now, in a moment, in a second, I went from being the most faith-filled person to the most somber, negative, angry, upset human being I've ever been in my life. I remember, but I couldn't really tell anyone. I was hanging out with some guys. I was trying to act cool, but inside I was not cool, man. I was like, and I remember sitting at a cafe with Tiana, like, God just doesn't care. I'm like, God just doesn't care. He gives us a house and then we just throw it away. We just throw it away. And I remember I'm at this cafe and I'm just like not happy. So I bought myself a cookie to make myself feel better. And I'm just so down. And then I realized halfway through that me just being so negative and somber that I was so faith-filled this time the day before, but all of a sudden I let one circumstance change that house wasn't given to me by God. And I, instead of being faith-filled, I'm faithless. I'm like, it's all gone. And you see, I stopped having the faith that God was actually going to come through, and I thought I'd lost the house. And thank God that didn't happen. But what I've learned is so many times, it's so funny that we can be so faith-filled for something. We feel like God's moving in our life. We feel like that health report is awesome. We feel like God's given us that job. And then all of a sudden, something goes on, and one moment, we move from being faith-filled to faithless. It's happened so quickly. And as I mentioned, for the disciples, it was healing the demon-possessed boy. For me, it was the house. But for each and every one of us, there would have been a time where we've had faith for God to come through with a job, finances, schooling, university, relationships. Maybe you've been believing for a friend to come to know Jesus, and you've invited them and nothing's happened. And we go, but God, I got them here. But God, you promised me that I would be successful in that career. But God, you promised me health. But God, and we go from being so faith-filled to in one moment just being completely faithless. And I want to encourage us today is we cannot allow circumstances to dictate the level of faith in our lives, because something that is inevitable is life is going to happen. Challenges are going to come. Fear is going to come. Doubt is going to come. But we can stop that and not let that affect our faith. And what I've realized is in these moments when we allow discouragement to come and we lose faith, maybe we actually were not faith-filled, but instead we're hope-filled. See, I'm not saying that hope isn't important, because hope, we serve a God of hope. We got to hope. But there's definitely a difference between hope and faith. And I think sometimes we go, we mask faith as actually hope. But I actually don't know if that's true, because you know what faith is? Faith is being, it means we have complete trust and confidence in God for Him to come through. But being hope-filled means we're having a feeling of expectation and desire that God is going to come through. So we can say that we have faith in God for His plans to come into our life, but when it doesn't go according to our plan, we give up. We become faithless. And I think sometimes we mask faith with hope, where we actually don't have complete trust in God, where we actually don't really believe that He's going to come through. We hope He's going to come through. We are pretty confident He's going to come through. But then one circumstance hits and we go, oh, well, that's it. That's not faith, church. That's hope. And hope is important, but we can't do that. And I'll do it in this way. I want to give us an example of this. I'm so afraid of heights. I'm terrified of heights. I hate them. I had to go on a roof on Friday and I hated it. Pastor Joe was like, we have to do this thing. And I was like, oh, fine. And I hated it. I just did not enjoy being on that roof. I hate heights. So an example is, if I decided to go bungee jumping for some dumb reason I decided to go bungee jumping, I can tell you right now, having hope that the guy that's latched onto me is going to save my life is not going to get me to jump out of that plane. It might be for you because you're crazy. But for me, I'm going to have complete trust. I'm going to have faith in this guy. I'm not going to have hope that this guy is going to come through, because that's so dumb. Have complete trust. And that is the difference. Hope is great. We serve a God that tells us to hope. But only being hope-filled will lead us to taking life situations into our own hands, or discouragement and fear taking over us. where instead faith will lead us to be unwavering in our belief that God is going to come through. Life can hit us hard, circumstances can change, many situations in our life will look different to how we thought, but we will know that God's plan is going to come through. We will have complete trust, no matter the process, that God is going to come through. Let's just think about the lady with the issue of blood. I can tell you right now, yes, she had hope that when she touches Jesus' garment, she's going to be healed, but it was her faith that made her well. When she touched her garment, she knew that God was going to come through. She had complete trust that God was going to come through, church. So we cannot disguise hope with faith, as they are different. Yes, we'll need both, and both are very important, but faith will be the reason that we actually stay the course. And as I mentioned, one way I know when people are faith-filled, not just hope-filled, is they don't take the control back from God. They don't take the control in life back to them and go, oh, tried God, didn't work, I'm going to try this way, I'm going to try that way. They actually just park God to the side. They instead leave it in God's hands and trust the process. We have to be people that put complete trust in the process. Have faith that God is going to come through despite the process that you are in. Because it is a process, church. It can be a long process sometimes. It can be a short process sometimes. But there is always a process. And what I find is the process is always different to the way we believe it should be. The process in our life, we think it's step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But the process in our life, it goes step 1, 6, 3, 4, and all of a sudden we're just lost and confused and we're like, God, are you still there? But we got to keep that faith. We got to believe that God is going to come through. We need to remind ourselves that we serve a God that heals blind people. We serve a God that heals the sick. We serve a God that parted the sea. We serve a God that caused a miracle for a 90-year-old to get pregnant and so, so much more. So I can guarantee you there's no life circumstance, there's no dream, there's no vision, there's no promise that God can't come through in your life, church. I'm sick of us being discouraged. I'm sick of us being so fearful in the promises of God. But I'm like, we just need faith. Let's give it to God. Stop taking it into our own hands. But believe he's going to come through. Keep going to him. Keep asking for guidance from him. Don't let backward steps stop you from believing that he's going to come through in your life. And one way I want to talk about tonight to help us keep the promise, or keep the faith, is we need to get a promise from God. That's going to help you know where you're supposed to go. And I want to encourage us tonight, church, that God is a God of promises. And he has a promise for you. It doesn't matter the area in your life. It doesn't matter the situation. It doesn't matter if that promise is for your future, for your relationship, for your family, for your health. It doesn't matter. But he is a God that goes through promises. I just think of Abraham, who got given a promise to have a child. Joseph, who got given a promise of leadership. David, who got given a promise to be king. Peter, who got given a promise instead of to be a fisherman, a fisher of men. All these people received a promise. And I can guarantee you that the process that they went through from promise to the promise actually eventuating was very different to what they thought. But I can tell you right now, in those tough times, in those discouraging moments, in those times where fear may have taken over, they were able to hold onto the promise that God gave them. In my life, it has been the promises that I've gotten from God that have gotten me through the tough times. It's been the promises that I've gotten to God that I've been able to go through. When I've been in prayer sometimes and I'm just feeling like the world is just closing in on me in a sense, I go back to the promises of God and go, no, God's promised this, they're going to come through. There is not one promise in the Bible that God didn't come through in. He came through every single time. And I know there's a promise in my life right now that hasn't happened, but I'm holding on to it, church. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm having faith that it's going to come through because I really believe that God is a God of promises and he doesn't forget his promise. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20 says, for all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. We need to get a promise from God because that's what's going to keep us going. That's what's going to cause us not to give up. And that's what's going to cause us to live the life that God has called us to live. So if you have a promise from God, don't forget it. Don't park it. But actually remind yourself of those promises. Don't just go, it hasn't happened yet. I'm giving up. But remind yourself of the promise of God, because His promise will come through. We just need to go to Him. And if you don't have a promise from God, seek Him for one. And I know He will give you one. And from there, you can have faith. And if you are a young adult here, I really want to just mention Young Adults Retreat right now, because that is a time, this is a shameless plug, by the way, but that is a time that you're actually going to get a promise. Those are the times that I've gotten a promise for my life. Those are the times that I've seen many different people get a promise and a clarity for the calling of their life, get a promise that they are going to be healed, get a promise that their situation is going to be changed. So don't just go, oh, I can't afford it. Make a way. Talk to Pastor Jason, because it's a time where you're going to actually be able to get a promise, and faith is going to be instilled in you. The thing that I find, though, is a lot of the time people, as I mentioned, get a promise and think it's just going to happen. It's just going to happen. They get a promise and they go, cool, I can sit back, relax, and just, it's just going to come to fruition. But I'm sorry, that's not the case. It's a process that we will grow ourselves, we will grow in our relationship with God, and we'll grow into who God has made us. So sitting back is not going to grow anything. It's just going to let it just pass you by. We can't just have faith and think, cool, that's it, God's got this. But we need to have faith and do the work. And this week I was listening to a neuroscientist, psychologist, ex-Navy SEAL podcast, which is quite interesting. And you know what he said? It was quite interesting. He said, the only way to get motivation is by action. That's the only way. People think, I need motivation. I want motivation. But the only way that you're actually going to get motivation is by the action that you're going to take. And I really, truly believe that that is the same with faith. And I believe it's confirmed in James 2, 14 to 26. Let's turn our eyes to the screen. It says, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So also faith is dead without good works. So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you will believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this and they tremble in terror. How foolish, can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions work together. His actions made his faith complete, and so it happened just as the scriptures say. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God, but what we do, not by faith alone. Rahab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. That's pretty strong. It's pretty strong, isn't it? But you know what? It's so correct. It's so true. The language is so necessary. Yes, we can have faith, but we can't just sit and wait for those promises to come, for those promises He has given us to actually eventuate. See, we need to actually put work towards it. We cannot just think, I'm going to pray for people and believe that they're going to come and be healed, but then we're not actually going to go in our quiet time and really believe and fester that spiritual gift. Or we get the opportunity to pray for someone to be healed or pray for someone to receive, and we're like, oh, no, next time, God. I'll get it next time. I know you called me to be a great evangelist, but you'll get me confident. I'll get confident in the next time. See, it doesn't work like that. Faith is great, and God still has the ability to use us solely with faith, but we need to put action into that as well. And as a lot of you may know, is I recently ran a half marathon. Yeah. Come on. I recently ran a half marathon. And you know what was... So what happened is the night before, we ran a massive youth event, and it was over 600 teenagers, 116 teenagers got saved. It was amazing. And what happened was I was buzzed from the night. Like, I was like, this is the greatest thing ever. And I couldn't sleep, and I had to be up at 3 a.m. to go to Noosa. So I ended up only having an hour and a half of sleep that night. And I remember driving to Noosa going, oh, man, this is going to be a rough one. But I start running. I'm stoked. I'm like, you've done the work, Jack. You've done the work. And you can do this. I'm running. I'm listening to podcasts. And I go to hardcore EDM when I'm like, just like blasting my ears because it's the only thing that nuts. And I remember the last 3 kilometers, 18 to 21 kilometers, I was hurting. I was on sub-2 pace. I was going for my goal. My goal was sub-2, but I was hurting. And you know what I realized in that moment? I had to tell myself, you've actually done the work. And what I realized is I wouldn't have been able to do 21.1 kilometers sub-2, which I got, by the way. Just want to clarify, 5 minutes 36 per K, hour and 58 minutes. Yeah, thank you. Which I got, I wouldn't have been able to do that if I just had faith. If I just rocked up after not training for 3 months and not doing anything, and that last 3 kilometers got through, I definitely wouldn't have hit my goal. Faith was not going to be enough to get me through there. But I remember it was the work that I did, all the interval running, all the long runs, all the short runs, all the running got me to the point where I was able to reach my goal and do that. Faith wasn't going to cut it at 18 kilometers. I was sore. We need to be people that put in the work. We can't be lazy. The work was the reason that I got that marathon pace. It wasn't faith. We can't be lazy. We cannot be complacent, but we need to know where God is taking us and the gifts that God has given us and run having complete trust that God is going to come through. So if you've gotten a promise, don't be complacent about it and expect that you will just get there, because you won't. You need to study for it. You need to work hard for it. And at times you're going to need to stand up for what you believe in. But you got faith and complete trust in God that He's going to come through and put into action that dream. So if you know that you've gotten a gift from God, you need to work on it. You need to pray and fast into it. Don't just expect that the 3-step process that's worked every single time. Trust me, I'm saying this because I've fallen into the 3-step process before and it hasn't come through. And I was like, what the heck? I did that and that and that. I even said in Jesus' name. How did that not work? But we get stuck into that. But no, it's the quiet time. It's the seeking God in the quiet time and going, God, help me with that spiritual gift of healing, of prophecy, of just evangelism, whatever it may be. Help me with that. Help me encourage people. Let me fast and pray so that when I do get into a moment when I have to pray for someone, I've got complete trust that you're going to come through. Can I please have the band up? We need to put action to our faith, church. And what I found, though, is it means that we need to make sacrifices. Like, if you really think about it, there is no successful person in this world that didn't have to make sacrifices throughout their life to get to where God is, or to get to where they are today, Christian or not Christian. And that's just in the world. Imagine how much more applicable is that for Christians. It's so much more applicable for Christians that we actually have to make sacrifices. Romans 12, 1-2 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. To get to where God wants us, we have to make sacrifices. It's a must. The flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. The disciples made the sacrifice of their careers, comfort, and safety, and dropped everything to follow Jesus. In the book of Acts, we see people sacrificing their own land and possessions to care for one another. And everybody we read about that did something for God, or everybody that we see that's done something for God, I can tell you right now, it was the sacrifices that got them there. It wasn't them just going, oh, I don't want to give up this. I don't want to give up this. I can tell you they counted the cost every single time, and that's why they got there. But you know what I can guarantee every time? Is every time that someone's lived in their God purpose and made those sacrifices, I know for a fact that they don't regret it. I know for a fact that they're not going, oh, I missed out. Because what happened is they actually walked into their God purpose. They actually walked in and realized what true fulfillment is. So church, I understand that to actually walk into the call of God, you're going to have to make sacrifices, and it's scary, and at times it's not going to feel easy or comfortable. But I can tell you right now, I've never met someone that's regretted walking in the call of God in their life. I've never met someone that's regretted going, I made that sacrifice there, that sacrifice there, that sacrifice there, but now I'm here. It doesn't happen, church. We got to be people that make sacrifices. We must be people that through that, through God giving us a promise and going, having complete trust, going, okay, God, complete trust is making sacrifices. That's hope without sacrifices, church. I'm sorry. But we must be people with faith. But we also must be people that are not willing, that are willing to put the work in and make sacrifices to see the promises of God happen in our life. Don't be a person that just sits on the sidelines and watches it happen for everyone else. Be a person that goes, I'm standing up. I'm standing up right now and I'm going to go for it. I'm standing up right now and I'm going to go for that promise. I'm standing up right now and I'm going to go for that faith. I'm going to believe that that person's going to be healed on the side of the walk. I'm going to stand up right now and not just let life pass me by, but I'm going to go, God, what is your purpose in my life? God, what do you need from me? And I've got complete faith in you that I'm going to do it. If life doesn't go my way, I don't care. If life doesn't go to what my plan is, I don't care. But God, I'm going to make any sacrifice. God, I'm going to do anything I possibly can to experience the true purpose that you've called me to be. Can I please have everybody stand in this place tonight? I don't care if you're 12 or you're 86. Be tonight, make tonight a night that you make a commitment that you're not just going to be someone that just hopes, but someone that combines hope and faith that God is going to do some miraculous things through you. That if you need a promise tonight, tonight is the night that you're not just, you're going to get your promise. It's not just a can get a promise, you're going to get a promise. If you need your fire reignited tonight, those I was praying, I really feel that there's people here tonight that needs a fire to be reignited in their life. They need something to shift in their life to go, you know what, God, I had that promise. You know what, God, I had that dream. You know what, God, I have that hope and faith, but I need to go to you and run with it. I need to stand up and go, God, I need you. We need to have complete trust in God, church. I know when that happens, we're going to see future businessmen. We're going to see future leaders. We're going to see future engineers. We're going to see future doctors and medical professionals be Christians and actually stand up and change the world that we need to change up. So don't just wait for me, but I'm telling us right now, let's get that promise from God. Let's reignite that fire in our life and let's push hard for that faith. Don't wait for me. We're going to open up the altar. I want you to come to the front, and I believe that fire is going to be come up. So just come up. Don't wait. Holy Spirit, right now, reignite the fire in our lives. Reignite the passion in our life. God, give us a promise. God, remind us of the promise. God, we want complete trust and faith in you. We don't care the steps. We don't care the process. We're sacrifices for you, God. That's all we want to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's start to sing it. Build that. Come on, come to the front right now if that's you. You need a reignited fire. Come on, stand. Come on, don't wait.
So what could I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you.
I really feel right now people are getting attacked in the level of fear of going, God, what happens if I actually do give my complete trust? God, I actually don't know if I'm actually going to be able to do it. I don't know if I'm going to be able to, but I can tell you right now, there's no promise that God has given you. There's no pathway that God has given to you that you won't be able to do, that you won't be able to fulfill. And I can tell you right now, it is worth it, church. It's worth it. Don't just go sit back and go, you know what? I can't do it, but you can. Don't let fear stop you. Don't let fear cause you to miss out on what God has for you, because He's got so much. There's nothing that He can't do. And all you need to do, it's not a fear thing, because He's got to go have your back. He's ever present. He's going to be with you. But we can't let fear stop us. So we're going to go back into that bridge right now. And if that's you, I want to really encourage you. Don't just stand back there and go, God, I'm not sure. God, let fear take in. But stand, come out to the front and believe for that promise. Come out to the front and actually go, I'm going to do it. Because He's got you. He's got you.
And what can I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely.
Would you sing that again? Would you lift your hands and sing? What can I say?
What can I say?
Oh, what can I do?
What can I do?
Oh, but I feel this heart.
But I feel this heart, oh God. Completely to you.
Sing it again. So what can I say?
So what can I say?
Come on, let's declare this bridge right now. Let's declare this bridge right now. We want you to open up the doors, Jesus. Just right now, give everybody here a moment to enter into relationship with Jesus. I can tell you right now that Jesus is the answer to anything you're going through in your life. I've been speaking a message about how when we have faith and put our complete trust in you, he has a plan for us. He's going to guide us. He's going to live us because he wants the best for us. And you see, if you first time here, what you may not know is over 2,000 years ago, God sent his one and only son, Jesus, down to live a perfect life and then die on a cross so that me and you can be loved, so that me and you can be saved, so that me and you can enter into relationship with him and not do life alone when sometimes it just so feels like that. We have the power to actually receive that love. And you know how we can enter into relationship with him? He says, if you believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth, you are saved. So can I please have everybody here just bow their heads and close their eyes in this place? Because I want this to be a special moment for the person. And you see, the first part I said was if you believe in your heart. So just with no one looking around, if that is you and you believe in your heart, what I would like you to do, just as a sign to go, I believe it in my heart, is can you just raise your hand right now? Is there anybody here? Fantastic, there's one there. Is there anybody else that wants to enter into relationship with Jesus? Is there anybody else? There's one at the back there I think I saw as well. Anybody else? It's the best decision you'll ever make. It's the best decision you'll ever make. I want to give another moment. Don't wait. There's no point. Do it now. It's the best. Is there anybody else? Fantastic. Well, let's pray with that one young lady. So can everybody repeat this prayer after me? Dear Jesus, I believe in you. I want to have relationship with you. I know I've sinned. Please forgive me. And help me to live my life more like you. Thank you for dying on the cross and paying the price for my wrongdoing. Because of you, I now have hope and eternal life. As a Christian, I want to follow you. And everybody said amen. Amen, amen, amen. Can we please give that lady a wonderful hand?